sports and politics.
Let's get ready to rumble!
You wanna talk smack? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Guess what? I'm back. It's me, it's me, it's me, it's me, doing what I do for you all day, every day. Because there is no other way, and I'm here to stay. Well, at least for this week anyway. It's, I guess, the first real weekend of NFL preseason, because you got mini camps going on, you got all this stuff going on, teams are reporting. I think the final teams report on Sunday. So you know what that means. There is no other topic to talk about other than NFL football. There's some things going on in the world, but all I want to talk about right now is NFL football. And with me, as usual, is my co-host, JT, ATM Money. JT, let's get to it. What's going on with
you,
brother?
Are you ready for some football?
You sound like you're dying.
Oh, man, I'm dying to get football. That's what I'm dying. I'm dying for it to come back. Dying for actual games to take place, dying to get in front of the TV and watching my favorite fantasy players kick butt on my teams, and dying to win multiple championships again this year.
All right, all right, all right, whatever. Speaking of which, did you check out the Yahoo League yet?
Excuse me?
Did you check out the Yahoo League?
I don't think I did, but I can do that right now.
I can tell you. I can tell you. 14 teams, you and I go head-to-head week one. Let's go.
Oh, I see it right here. I'm looking right at it. 14 teams. I'll be just like my name, Moneymaker.
No. I don't think so. We shall see. Week one, you're going down like a $2 whore. But, ladies and gentlemen, Jerry and I are going to discuss the difference in punishment by the NFL as it relates to performance-enhancing drugs as well as marijuana and you know, illegal drugs versus assault, murder, and other actions that are also frowned upon in regular society. We're going to talk about that in light of the Ray Rice situation, whereas he received a 2-game suspension. I've got my thoughts on it. We can talk about it. But how is Dale really protecting the shield if he's going to give Ray Rice 2 games for knocking out a female, happens to be his wife now, and yes, it was his first offense that we know of, so on and so forth, but how are you going to give him 2 games and someone getting caught with a PED or a smoking weed, 3 games, 8 games, and so on and so forth? Dante Saltworth, when he was drunk and accidentally killed someone in his car, received a 1-year suspension. Okay. We're going to talk about that. Also, we're going to touch upon, well, we're going to fully discuss the NFC West and the NFC North. I have a surprise for the NFC West that you know, Jerry might not smell anything on, but I'm going to smell something on it. And we'll see if he has any kahunas this week and decides to take me up on anything. I doubt it. They're old and shriveled up, so I doubt he has anything. But other than that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have it.
Well, the only way that you would know that is to have been down there.
I know. You posting pictures on Facebook and Vine and Instagram, you old filthy man. All right. Well, you know, before I get into all this wonderful goodness that we call football and fantasy football, I got to do one thing. It's become a little tradition for me, so let's get it in.
Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stack defenses in the pros. They must meld the buck of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprinter. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but Demolition Derby.
I know one back that won't be carrying the ball 20 times a game, and I think we're going to be talking about him this week.
Okay. It's a couple of them that won't be doing it, and that's part of one of my surprises. But let's tackle this first topic, which is the real-life situation.
What situation? There's no situation. Goodell's made his ruling. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Correct. He did. Well, we're going to talk about it. He made a ruling that I somewhat disagree with, and I want to talk about some of the Ravens broadcasters or Baltimore area sportscasters that kind of. Well, I'll talk about it in a minute. I'm going to play a soundbite. The soundbite is a reaction to the verdict that Roger Goodell did in the Ray Rice suspension situation. Here we go.
There are reports that one of the reasons why the NFL was so lenient in many people's minds to Ray Rice was that his wife spoke on his behalf, making the point that this was not a part of their relationship, it was a one-time incident. There are those who believe her plea on behalf of Ray Rice was instrumental in the NFL coming back with the suspension it came back with.
Now, with that being said, that's the sentiment of a lot of Baltimore area sports media as saying, how do we know she wasn't really, really intoxicated and she was being belligerent and he had to hit her? And he was knocking her out and all this other mess. And I'm kind of not really feeling it because whether she went to his defense or not, whether he's a major athlete, I mean, strong dude, might not be that tall, but strong guy, and she went to bat for him, got it. But I think that should not have been, if it was, not saying it was, but I would think that should have been a part of any of the decision-making on Sunday. I really thought he was going to get 8 weeks. I really thought he was going to lose at least half a season. But he didn't, and I want to talk about it. So go ahead, Jay-Z.
I'm torn, man. I'm really torn on this. And the reason I'm torn is this. I listened to Stephen A., and Stephen A.'s gotten some, including Michelle Beadle, who's a co-worker of his at ESPN, have gotten on Stephen A. because the fact is, and I understood what he was saying, but a lot of people took it the other way, that he was pretty much blaming the victim or saying she had something to do with it. You know, this is, and believe me, I've never done this before to anyone. So what I'm saying is, it don't take this the wrong way. But there are times when the situation gets so out of hand, and I'm pretty sure that alcohol was involved in this because I think she was extremely intoxicated at the time. And and I'm not excusing what I'm about to say here. I'm not excusing it, but it probably was easier if he was confronted and felt he had no other choice because of what was happening in the situation in hand. It was probably easier because of her intoxication that if he in fact struck her like he did, that she was knocked unconscious. Now, I'm not excusing what he said, I mean what he did, but in this day and age, some women push a guy to the ultimate limit and then some, because the fact is they know the law weighs heavily on their side and figure they can take it to as far as they want to take it and they won't have any repercussions. Now, to most guys, that is the truth, that they will not touch a female regardless. But to some guys, there is a tipping point that, you know, you went beyond what I'm going to tolerate, and if you get in my face or slap me or whatever, to do something physical, rather than restrain myself, I'm going to reciprocate what you did to me. I'm not saying it's right, but it happens. And I think in this situation, that is what may happen. Ray Rice has not gotten in any kind of trouble since he's been in the league, even when he was in college, from what I understand. Never got into a lick of trouble of any kind. Now, because of the mass media, if he had gotten to anything, especially in this situation, they would have definitely brought it out. So apparently, he has never gotten into any kind of situation except for this. And I think, and it's just my opinion, and I'm not giving him excuse, but I think because of the circumstances, and I wasn't in the elevator, I wasn't in the circumstances before they got into the elevator, that the situation got totally out of hand, and cooler heads did not prevail, and what you saw coming out of the elevator was a result of whatever happened in the elevator. Now, it's unfortunate, and I'm not excusing the fact that Goodell only gave him two games. I thought that was extremely light, when the norm is about four games, and then it goes up from there.
I agree. I wholeheartedly agree, Jerry. My issue is that you've got facts that are just, you know, out here doing whatever it is they want to do.
Yep.
They think they can get away with it, and they get slaps. I mean, they get full game suspensions. I mean, season suspensions for smoking weed. Now, granted,
yep.
I got it. I don't condone it at all. I don't condone it at all, not whatsoever. But I also see a situation where these guys are freaking, you know, repeat offenders, getting four games, five games. But you put your hands on a woman, guy.
I understand that.
You know, I can't defend it. Yes. The female had a part to play. No denying that. No denying that whatsoever. However, how deep is it that you can't just wrap your arms around her and squeeze the crap out of her because she just doesn't, you know, hit you or able to do it? She might try to headbutt you, but at least she's conscious. And if she headbutts you, then you would show that you were assaulted. Okay? But there's no proof that she assaulted him. I just don't get it.
Well, let me put it this way. Let me put it this way, Victor. There's different types of assault. There's physical assault, there's verbal assault, and I'm not excusing what happened. I'm not excusing, trust me when I say this, I'm not excusing what happened. but I saw something where that she may have spit in his face. And like I said, in an alcoholic state, and I'm not excusing because you're in an alcoholic state, but you and I both have been intoxicated at one point or another. And usually when you do that, what you would normally wouldn't do or would do when you're sober, things change when you get intoxicated. And for some people, their threshold of tolerance is a little lower or a lot lower when something like a spit in the face or a slap in the face or whatever occurs suddenly. And it's just and we're all not perfect. We're all human. And I'm not, trust me when I'm saying this, I am not excusing what he did. But I think it was, Herm Edwards or Tony Dungy, I think one of them said, nothing good happens after 12 a.m. at night.
That was
and
Herm.
I think, Herm. So I think this was pretty late at night, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was after 12 a.m. And I think I'm almost positive that there was alcohol involved. And as I said, I'm not excusing that. But when you have 40% of the NFL fans who are women, who drive 70% of all consumer spending, and last year, and I'm throwing this in there because I'm seeing these statistics, last year 20% of the female football fans said they thought they weren't being valued by the NFL. And you can bet that's going to rise after this, after what happened with this Ray Rice.
Most assuredly.
And it's absolutely crazy. And I saw a video clip, Victor, and I was still surprised this was on. I saw a video clip. I don't know if you saw this. Keith Olbermann had a little video on what he thought of this. And one of the things he showed in the video was on the NFL website on their store. They still were selling Ray Rice pink jerseys with the number 27 on them for $59.95. So I don't get it. I don't get it. I understand all the circumstances. I don't understand all the circumstances. But two games when at least 14 other players have been suspended since 2014 for either substance abuse or for performance-enhancing drugs, and none of whom received less than a four-game penalty. Like I said when I talked to you earlier, usually when it's PEDs or drugs or something like that, an offense an NFL player has done, it's four games, and it goes up from there. Where this two-game came from, I have no idea, and if I'm not mistaken, we'll have to wait and see because Greg Hardy, I think it's Greg Hardy, from the Carolina Panthers, I think just got convicted of domestic violence. And we'll have to see what the NFL is going to do about that.
It's crazy, man. It honestly is. It honestly is. And, you know, I'm not going to boycott the NFL like I'm going to do the NBA.
I understand.
My man card. But the value, and like you said, a certain percentage of women feel that they are devalued. They're not looked at. I've only been intoxicated once in my life, and I'm not a fighter. I'm not one of those types. If I'm around a young lady, I need that young lady type. So, and I don't drink. I really don't. I've seen what it does. It doesn't do anything. It ruins people's lives, smoking and drinking. That's why I don't like it. But if that's the situation, and yes, the woman says, well, I had a part to play in it, da-da-da-da-da. But let's say his little daughter grows up and has a similar situation. How's he going to react then? Well, I knocked the crap out of your mother. because he did it, and you deserve the same thing if you did that to your husband or boyfriend. I mean, I guarantee you that's not going to be his response.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I guarantee you. And if it is, you know, it's like, okay, well, I don't know. But it is just, it's bad. It's bad.
I got something from it. 1.3 million. That's how many women will be physically assaulted by their partners this year, in addition to 835,000 men, okay? According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, 25% of women will fall victim to domestic abuse at some point in their lifetime. So the NFL is enabling all those spouses by downplaying the severity of Ray Rice's offense just to get him back on the field sooner. It legitimates the self-doubt that a victim of abuse should come forward because of the possibility of a lenient and a, in quotation marks, an understanding judge toward the male or female who's the abuser. You know, if you follow what I'm saying? I mean, where are we going with this? When you can get a star player like this, only two games. You know, I understand you got to penalize them. I understand that. But two games? Come on. I mean, what, because he's a good guy? And I had a quote from Jim Harbaugh. And I don't know if John Harbaugh, if you didn't hear this. John Harbaugh said, this is what John Harbaugh said the same day he came down. It's not a big deal. It's just part of the process. And I can read on the rest of he said, but really
that's
stuck.
Enough. That's enough.
What really stuck in my craw and really upset me when he said that, said it's not a big deal, it's just part of the process. I said, what? You got to be kidding me when he said that. I couldn't believe he said that. And I don't know
Jerry,
if you heard that, but I couldn't believe he said that.
No, I didn't. I didn't. And Jerry, that's probably the stigma or the issue. I'm not saying that that's how the Harbaughs grew up or anything like that. But if that's the way it is in, you know, certain homes, you know, that's just the way it is, brother.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. But anyway, I want to get off this subject. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, excuse me, we're going to hit the NFC North. It's the North time. We're going to do that, discuss a few things. But Ray Rice, my brother, will I still draft you? If there's no other better product out there, yes. But I don't think I can root for you, brother. I don't think I can root for you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll sit tight. We'll be back. What do I got here? I'm going to play this commercial because there's a great special guest coming on tomorrow, and we're going to talk about that guest when we come back. But check out this first commercial.
If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety. For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm glad to, this is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to
join us. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, David?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the NFC North and our information we got on them, JT, you got a special guest coming on tomorrow. Let's talk about that real quick.
All right, this guy, Vic had informed me that he had made contact with a guy that was looking to, I guess, break into some type of media other than the YouTube videos that he was doing. So he reached out to me, and Vic reached out to me to see if I wanted to have this guy. His name is Lance Goodman. He calls himself the NFL Exporter. He's going to be on at 10 a.m. Starting at my program, Master Plan, on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be talking about training camp, and I'm going to be throwing him, besides little things on training camp, I got something else in the store that I'm not saying until showtime. And see how much
really knows?
Excuse me?
What he really knows?
Yes. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm not putting this guy on the spot, but I am putting this guy on the spot. Let me put it that way. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it. I think this guy is really looking forward to it. From the conversation Vic and I had off the air. So we'll see what happens. Is he going to be a regular, or is this a one-shot deal? We'll see. We'll see.
We shall see.
We shall see. We shall see. I'm looking forward to it. Let me put it this way. I'm looking forward to it because I am looking for a sidekick. I am looking for someone to have a conversation with that can bounce off ideas and give my opinion, and they, in turn, can give their opinion. And they may agree or disagree. That's fine with me.
That's fine. You need your Robin. That's what you're looking for, your Robin.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
I have mine, and he is you. But you're my man. You're my man.
G Kapowee, Batman.
All right. Let's get into this business. Should I do music today?
Go right ahead, man. You've been doing it, so why not?
All right. Let me find. You know what? I'll use this music for this entire division because it's going to be a smooth ride for a few. But here we go. Is in the tune, and right now we're going to discuss the Minnesota Vikings. Who's hot? This, I have a prediction here. Adrian Peterson will have his best ever football season within the next 2 years, either this year or next year, under North Turner. I'm calling. He went over 2,000 and some change a couple years ago. He's going to break Eric Dickerson's record in a year, this year or next year. That's my prediction. All right.
Wow.
Adrian Peterson could be cold as a December night in Minnesota, metamorphically speaking, and he'd still be the hottest thing in a Viking uniform. Fortunately for fantasy owners and the Vikes, he's still pretty warm, coming off of 1,437 total yards and 11 touchdowns in 14 games, which gives him 3,751 yards and 24 touchdowns over the last 2 years. Some people say the trade is going low on this guy, but I don't think it is. He has Norval Turner, who I believe is X-Factor, but we'll get to that in a minute. Who's not? Greg Jennings.
last two seasons in Green Bay were plagued with injuries as he missed 11 games and 14 starts. In 2014, he played and started 15 games, but while he was healthier, he felt the pain of playing with subpar passers. Their receiving yards total was 145 yards fewer than in 2011. And his four TD receptions were the same as in 2012 when he played 8 games and started 5. The X factor happens to be the Vikings' choice of Louisville quarterback Teddy Bridgewater with the last pick of the first round of May's NFL draft. There shouldn't be much of a quarterback controversy considering last year's TBs, Christian Ponder and Matt Castle, combined for a record of 5-9-1 in their 15 combined starts. Bridgewater may not see the field initially, and it's unlikely he produces a dramatic change in the win-loss column. This group was 56% pass, 44% run, which is amazing considering you have AP. But under North Turner, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that AP will eclipse Eric Dickerson's record. I really do. And given a couple weapons and a system that they have, this kid is going to be on a roll. Jason, your thoughts?
Well, I have to, I don't know about breaking Eric Dickerson's record, but everywhere North Turner has gone and has a decent running back, that running back has excelled. And also, there's other positions that North Turner and his system causes to have positions to excel and have breakout years. Now, quite naturally, Adrian Peterson can't have a breakout year because he's AP, and he's had breakout years before, or a breakout year, and he's been pretty consistent other than his time getting hurt. But he's already said that he's going to involve him more in the passing game. And you got AP running the ball and then getting the ball in space. You got nothing but problems for the defense when that happens. And finally, AP runs. There's other positions that are going to excel, like I said, because North Turner is a heck of an offensive coordinator. Not too good as a head coach, but look at what he did in Cleveland with Jordan Cameron and Josh Gordon after he came back from his 4-game suspension for drug abuse. And how that offense picked up when North Turner was a coach. Now he moves over with better weapons over to Minnesota. Nothing but upside for any skill position that's in that Minnesota offense.
You done?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. I don't want to cut you off. I don't want to be rude or nothing. I'm looking at your boy Sexy Rexy talk about Geno and Michael Vick right now.
Okay.
Live at Jets Geno. But let's get to this record now. Well, no. Let's do our fantasy offensive and defensive players, excuse me, and then we'll go with the record. I am going to say, I'm not going to give you Chad Greenway, because Chad Greenway is consistent. And Mr. Barr seems like he's going to be that dude, that Joker type of player for Minnesota. Ladies and gentlemen, Zimmer creates really good defenses, and they fly around the ball. Now, we know Jared Allen is gone. He went to Chicago. Julius Peppers went to Green Bay. So Mr. Barr, the draft pick, the first of the first-round draft picks that Minnesota had, I believe will be a terror coming off of that end. Jerry doesn't like the fact that he has small ankles. And, you know, that's understandable. People want to cut him and stuff like that because he's a speed rusher. But the kid can drop back and cover as well. And I think Zimmerman's going to do a lot of great things with him. So I would normally give you Chad Greenway here, but I'm going to give you Anthony Barr on the defensive side. On the offensive side, everybody's on Cordarrelle Patterson. Everybody. That's fine. But the guy that I think is going to have the better year out of all the receiving corps is Kyle Rudolph. Again, wherever North Turner goes, that tight end just explodes. And Rudolph already did pretty well with Christian Ponder and Matt Cassel without North Turner. Just imagine how he's going to run his routes and be with North Turner. Those are my guys, and I'm telling you, you can get both of them pretty late in any draft. I mean, I guess folks aren't realizing that Rudolph is in a system that accentuates the tight end. So he's dropping really late in a lot of drafts, which is fine. You can hold off and wait on him. He'll be there. So that's Vic's. What you got, JT?
Well, you took one of mine, but that's okay. I'll just add this to him about Kyle Rudolph. I think he lost about 10 to 20 pounds, so he's a little lighter than he was. He's Jordan Cameron, maybe a Jason Witten type. He's a nice sized guy, I like Kyle Rudolph, but I'm not going to move to Kyle Rudolph. I'm not going to go to the norm. Well, not the norm, but he's moving up the draft boards, believe it or not, Kyle Rudolph is. I'm going to go to not the name that everybody else is talking about on the offensive side besides Adrian Peterson, talking about Cordarrelle Patterson. I'm going to go to this guy who was showing out a little bit when he got his chance. And with a little bit more under his belt and under North Turner, I like number 17 in this program. That's Mr. Jarius Wright. I like Mr. Jarius Wright to show out and be an integral part of the offense of North Turner. On the other side of the ball, I'm going to a guy that some scouts say that the weakest part of the roster is the secondary and that the safeties are ordinary. But I'm going to go to a free safety because I think he's going to play better than he played last year. I like Harrison Smith on that side. I think he's going to play a lot better, and especially this Mike Zimmer defense. So I like Harrison Smith and Jarius Wright. That's what I'm talking about.
I like the Harrison Smith pick as well because the kid was an interception machine last year until he got hurt. He played the center field pretty much like a real baseball center fielder, you know, backing up his DBs. And he's not the biggest hitter. He is not the biggest hitter. However, he plays the ball really well. I like that pick there. Okay, now, to go over this record, again, you're either going to have a rookie quarterback who I think is going to win the job outright, or you're going to have a former first rounder who can't lead him out of a paper bag, or you're going to have Matt Cassel, who's a career game manager. We'll see. But here we go. Wins and losses. Jerry, you're up. At St. Louis.
Loss.
Home for New England.
Loss.
At New Orleans.
Loss.
Home for Atlanta.
Loss.
At Green Bay.
Loss.
Wow. Home for Detroit.
Win.
At Buffalo.
Win.
At Tampa Bay.
Win.
Home for Washington.
Loss.
Bye week. Then at Chicago.
Loss.
Home for Green Bay.
Loss.
home for Carolina.
Win.
Home for the Jets.
Win.
At Detroit.
Loss.
At Miami.
Win.
Finishing up home with Chicago.
Win. And understand something, people. Minnesota this year is playing outside. They don't have a dome. They're playing outside.
That is correct. And AP is going to be used even more, especially in those winter games. But two of their last four games are in good places. One is a dome in Detroit, and one is at Miami. So the weather is going to be a factor in those two games. But the Jet game to start off December and the Chicago game to end December might be a factor. You have them at what, 5-11 or something like that, Jerry?
I have them 7-9.
Okay. A little more than I had them at, like 6-10, only because I think it's going to be really tough starting out, really tough. And this is a last-place schedule.
That's why I have them losing the first five games. I think it's really tough.
Yeah, man. I think, honestly, I'm going to give them St. Louis, even though it's on the road. I love the defense of St. Louis, but I don't like St. Louis's offense whatsoever. And I think North Turner can coach up Teddy Bridgewater and AP. He might not get 100 yards of that game, but Kyle Rudolph will get off, because last year St. Louis gave up points to the tight end quite a bit, and I don't think they figured out their cornerback situation. So all Bridgewater or Castle or whoever has to do is get the ball to the receiver and let them do their work. But I do agree with you, they're going to lose New England, New Orleans, Atlanta, Green Bay, Detroit. I think they're going to beat Buffalo. Then they're going to lose to Tampa, lose to Washington. They'll lose at Chicago. Yeah, they'll lose to Chicago. They'll beat Green Bay. They'll beat Carolina. They'll beat the Jets. They'll beat Detroit. They'll lose to Miami. And they'll finish out with a win in Chicago. So I got them a little around 7-9, 8-8. So that's about right. That's about right. Okay. I think AP is in for a long season, and he's going to run the ball a lot. But depending on what happens in his preseason, will determine who's the quarterback. And that's why I can't think too much into him right now, because I'm not sure what's going to happen. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go on down the road to, well, not down the road. I guess we want to go across to Detroit. Ready for a little Detroit? Here we go. Who's hot?
That's apropos for Detroit.
Yeah, sure is. Matthew Stafford will be the greatest beneficiary of Jim Caldwell assuming the head coaching reins in Detroit. Stafford has passed for more than 4,600 yards three times in his five-year career. He has thrown 30 or more touchdowns just once. Caldwell was the offensive guru for the Indianapolis Colts from 2002-2011. During that span, then-coach QB Peyton Manning had just one 4,600-yard passing season, but 5 years with at least 30 touchdowns. Now, I disagree on who's not hot. I really think they got this wrong. Reggie Bush is in decline and has yet to be seen, but considering he was supposed to be the next Gale Sayers 8 years ago and has just two 1,000-yard rushing seasons, there's not a great deal to decline from. He's good, not great. This may not be the beginning of the end for Bush, but it definitely won't be the explosion we've grown used to waiting for every season. Kind of got to go against that, but it is what it is. I did not write it. But I'll give my thoughts later. The X Factor is a guy that Jerry likes, and it's Joke Bell. Must be prepared to perform at running back, especially if Bush turns in a down year. He had more rushing touchdowns, 8, and more receiving yards, 547, than Bush last year. And that's why I think Bush is going to have to prove something, and he's out to prove that he's the man. But last year, this team was 59% pass, 41% run. And under Jim Caldwell, I think they're going to double tight end set, which will lead to more running. I call it the ace, some people call it the dot, some people call it single back, whatever the case may be. That twin tight end set is going to be very useful, especially if they do a zone blocking run scheme. And that's what I think they're going to, a zone blocking run scheme, which benefits Reggie Bush a lot more so than it benefits Joke Bell. Joke Bell is a north-south guy who will run you over, whereas Reggie can one cut and go. Just has to hold on to the ball. With Pettigrew and Ebron at the tight end, you have two viable pass-receiving tight ends and decent blockers. You got Calvin and Tate on the outside. And if they're off the line because the tight ends are on, they're not getting jammed up. They get a free release, so to speak. And that could be trouble. But with that being said, I'm gonna ride Reggie Bush as my offensive guy. I know some people are off of him this year, and they haven't been on him for quite a while, but I think he's going to be the difference maker. On the offensive side, defensive side, I really, 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 really think that Ndamukong Suh is going to bone up and be a worse monster than he has been. And some people might say, how is that possible? Trust me. This guy, for defensive tackle, he's going to give old boy in Cincinnati a run for his money. But Ziggy Ansah is going to be the reason why. Ziggy Ansah is coming in on his second year as a pass rusher. Okay? Ziggy Ansah is going to have the benefit of either working on what's my boy? What's the other boy that he took the tackle that's opted in Dominican to? Nick Fairley? He's going to work on Nick Fairley's side, or he's going to work on Ndamukong Suh's side. And that's three monsters you don't want to mess with. He's a DN. Typically, they take a year or two to blossom, and I think this is his year. I really do. But Ndamukong Suh's going to have a good year because of Ziggy Ansah. That's what I got. Go ahead, Ziggy.
All right, let me go to the offensive side of the ball first. I am not going to go with the running backs, even though I'm very tempted to do it. I'm going to go to this guy because I think he was clearly the top tight end in the draft and will immediately add another weapon in that passing game. Very athletic tight end from North Carolina, talking about 6'4". 245, Eric Ebron, incorporated into this offense with Calvin and Golden opening up the middle. Mr. Ebron being the, in my opinion, more athletic of the two tight ends, meaning Brandon Pettigrew or Eric Ebron. He's going to be a surprise addition by so-called experts that are going to forget about him due to the other names that are on this offense. On the other side of the ball, I'm going with another guy that is probably not talked about too much, but I like him, And in my opinion, he's probably a little off the radar, but I'm going to go with and I'm really torn between either the middle linebacker or the outside linebacker, so I'm going to go with the outside linebacker versus the middle. DeAndre Levy, I should say. I'm going to go that way. I like him and to show out because of the strong line. I think he's going to get some opportunities to do a few things coming from the outside linebacker position.
I like that Levy pick. Last season, he really showed out and stood up. But their problem is their secondary. And I was very surprised when Detroit didn't pick one of the top DBs. But they ended up getting one of the better ones. I think they kept the kid that was at Michigan State. And they kept him in Detroit, in Michigan, if I'm not mistaken. But Levy showed out last year for Detroit's defense. Because it wasn't the front seven. It was the back four.
Right.
So that was a good selection here, Jerry. I'm going to have to talk to you a little bit when I do the IDPs for the master plan in a couple of weeks. We'll have to have a talk. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, your boy FSP and his family is going on the show Let's Make a Deal with Wayne Brady in a week or so.
Are you serious?
I can't. Yeah. Yeah. We're going on Let's Make a Deal. And hopefully we get selected from the studio audience. And you get to see your boy on TV. I'll tell you when, JT, but I can't tell everybody.
Okay.
But we're doing that, and then at the end of the month, I might be going to Price is Right. So.
Oh, boy. Hollywood's gotten you wrapped.
You know it. But anyway, hey, free tickets. All I got to do is get down there. And I discovered there is a bus that leaves Oakland and takes you to L.A. round trip for $40.
What?
So, yeah, man. And it's a very good company. So they Yelp has said very good, da-da-da-da, yada-yada-yada. So the reputation is good.
Round trip for $40.
Yeah, 20 one way, 20 the other, coming back.
Get out of here. That's insane.
Yeah, I know. The wife, I was saying, let me and her do it, or me and my son do it, and, you know, we get somebody to stay and watch the kids, but this will be our family vacation for the summer, because I promised my boy that I'd take him on Let's Make a Deal, and now I get a chance to do that. I need to live up to a promise.
Wow.
You know? So, with that being said, will the Detroit Lions live up to a promise and make the playoffs this season? Jerry and I are about to tell you right now, because I'm going to tell you, I think either Detroit or Chicago is going to win the NFC North.
Ooh.
But
ooh.
With that being said, JT, let's get to these picks. Let's go. New York Giants, they're home for New York. They open up in the Dome, 7:10 start time. I believe it's Monday night.
Monday night football, absolutely. Win.
At Carolina.
Win.
Green Bay.
Win.
At the Jets.
Big letdown. Loss.
Buffalo.
Win.
At Minnesota.
Loss.
Home for New Orleans.
Loss.
They go to London to play Atlanta.
They beat Atlanta.
A bye week, then they're home for Miami.
Win.
At Arizona.
Tough place to play.
Yeah.
Loss.
At New England.
Another tough place to play. Loss.
Chicago.
Short week. Win.
Tampa Bay.
Win.
Minnesota.
Win. Three home games straight. They win.
Yep. At Chicago.
Loss.
At Green Bay.
Loss.
And you put them at what?
9-7. Just on the edge of possibility getting in or out of the playoffs. That's on the edge.
I got them at 10-6, 11-5.
I believe they do win in the home opener versus New York. I believe, I mean, you hit it right on the nail. I know Odell Beckham Jr. is a good talent, but he's a rookie. And Victor Cruz is not a number one.
No.
He's not a number one. So everybody that's drafting him as their number one receiver, they're going to be very upset when they see what happens. The system might be good, and yes, it's new, but I don't think he's going to blossom for you that much. So I got that as a loss for the Giants, a win for Detroit. They're going to beat Carolina. They're going to beat Green Bay. I was surprised you said they were going to beat Green Bay in week the first time, but you did. I was like, okay, well, we're on the same wavelength. I think they'll start out 3-0. They'll lose to the Jets. I believe they'll beat Buffalo. They'll beat Minnesota. They'll lose to New Orleans. They'll lose to Atlanta. They'll beat Miami, lose to Arizona. And a shocker, I got them beating New England. I got them beating Chicago because it's home. Tampa Bay is a loss. Minnesota's a win. And Chicago's a loss because it's a away game. And then they're going to finish out by beating Green Bay. I think they sweep Green Bay this year.
Well, this is the issue I have. Look at it's December 21st, December 28th. They play two division rivals on the road back-to-back. Back-to-back, outside. They're not dome. It's an outside game and two division rivals on the road. It's going to be cold as hell in Chicago, and you know two or three days after Christmas it's going to be cold as hell in Green Bay. And they're a dome team. They play well, excel well on the turf. The play in the grass, on the road, in roughly 20 degrees weather or below, I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, here's my reasoning. Their last three games are division games, and this will decide if they win the division or if they are a wild card or just outside of the division. That's why I'm saying about routes. They're going to have to win all three, Minnesota, Chicago, and Green Bay.
Yeah, that's tough.
What they have.
That's tough.
But it's to win their division, and that's why I think they'll pull it out. Jim Caldwell will instill the cool, calm mindset that Jim Schwartz didn't have, and that's why a lot of the defensive players – be truthful, a lot of those games they could have won had their players kept their cool on defense, namely Ndamukong Suh. And I think he's not going to fly off the handle. I'm not saying it's just because Caldwell's a black coach, but I think he has a little bit more respect for Caldwell than he does Schwartz, or he did Schwartz. And, again, I'm not saying it because it's a black coach and a black player. I just think he's going to have a little bit more discipline coming into his, fourth or fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't want to be labeled that dirty player. And if they have a chance to win a division title and go to the playoffs, he's not going to act as stupid to cause his team to get a penalty that's going to prolong the drive. I think he's matured enough to do that. But that's what I got on Detroit. Again, I think they're going to be on the cusp of making the playoffs and winning the division. So I think they're going to be a very good team this year. I personally would like to load up on some of their talent, but, I don't think it – they only have one real top 10 talent, one first-round talent, and that's Megatron. But in some leagues, I'm not picking Megatron first. But this year, our Yahoo ESPN league, there are 16 and 14 teams. So I'm going to grab Megatron if I'm at the bottom of that draft order and, pick me up something else when it comes back around, because I'm going to miss out on Megatron if everybody goes, 16 teams, it's only 32 quarterbacks. You got to get two quarterbacks at least. So let me grab my two early or whatever. And, somebody's going to end up with Blake Bortles. Somebody's going to end up with Blake Bortles. Somebody's going to end up with Teddy Bridgewater. Do you get what I'm saying, Barry?
Excuse me?
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, somebody's going to wind up with Teddy Bridgewater. I understand that.
Okay, you want
to... 16 teams.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, let me keep it moving. My co-host is you know, dozing off. I got to give him his pills. So let's move on. Another team in the NFC North happens to be the Green Bay Packers. Let's get it going. Who's hot? By the way, Jordy Nelson just signed an extension. He just got paid. Jordy Nelson just got paid today. So that's news for everybody if you didn't know already. Anyone Aaron Rodgers goes to is hot. But Randall Cobb could turn in a career year in 2014. The 8 receptions and 8 touchdowns in 2012 made him a fantasy gem. But his fractured leg last year kept him from meeting expectations. He's healthy again, as evidenced by his 2 TD receptions against the Bears in Week 17, including the game winner on the Packers' last drive that sent them to the playoffs. Who's not? The Green Bay defense left much to be desired last year, ranking 25th in the league in yards allowed and 24th in points allowed. Granted, linebacker Clay Matthews missed 5 games, but the Packers gave up 6,585 yards when he played 15 games in 2011. Julius Peppers joined the unit, but he doesn't exactly seem to scream culture change, especially at age 34. The X factor is that big bull in a china closet, Eddie Lacy, who surpassed 1,000 yards rushing in his rookie season. He may not need to do that. Do the same thing this year in 2014 with Rodgers and the passing game back on point. But he provides great balance to the offense and is a wonderful insurance policy for the passing game is hampered by injuries again. Last year, this team was 55% pass, 45% run. They were pretty balanced in comparison to what they have been in the past. JT, I think Green Bay is going to be in for a big, rude awakening this year. Even with Julius Peppers and hot Clinton Dix in the secondary now, I think that defense is going to be the Achilles heel to the offense of the Green Bay Packers. So, on the defensive side, yes, I'm going to pick Ha-Ha Clinton Dix because they're going to need him to do a lot of defensive stuff. A lot of defensive stuff. I mentioned Jordy Nelson getting that big paycheck. I think he's going to have a bounce back year because last year he didn't do too well. The year before that, he didn't do too well. But with Randall Cobb set to be the main guy, running the ball from the backfield from time to time, catching the ball at receiver, he's going to draw a couple double coverages. That leaves Jordy Nelson one-on-one. And he's a good route runner. He finds the holes in the defense when they play zone. And he can beat somebody one-on-one. It's just, will he be consistent with his hands? That's the one thing. Other than that, that's what I got. What do you got, JT?
I got this. All right. There's 2 positions that I really like in fantasy. Everybody knows I love running backs. And I do have a thing for tight ends.
I bet you do.
Anyway, tight end, quite naturally, Jermichael Finley is still hurt. I don't think too much of Andrew Corliss. And there was a young man that showed pretty well in OTAs and minicamp that caught the eye of the coaches, Richard Rodgers. Remember that name because he may be a prominent name in the tight end position. From a rookie from California, and drafted in the 3rd round by Green Bay, Richard Rodgers is what I like on the offense, and I'm going to an old standby on the defensive side. because I think he's going to be he's been consistent throughout, and the bloodline never has let me down at all. Going with Clay Matthews.
You know, that's not a bad thing, because you got Julius Peppers on the other side. However,
mm-hmm.
however, that inside is kind of scary to me, man. I said their inside, their middle, the middle of their defense, it's soft like jello, man. It just is. I mean, Morgan Burnett is cool, but straight up the middle, man. Straight up the middle till you get to Ha Ha Clinton Dix. You know, it's kind of soft. It's kind of soft. And people are going to gash him straight up the middle. Doug Jolly, I don't even think he's there anymore. So, you know, I got my suspicions on Green Bay's defense. They got two good bookends, but other than that, we're about to find out what I think in a minute. All right, JT, we're about to go to the schedule. They open up on the road.
Ouch.
At Seattle. And we're going to talk
first
about
game
Seattle
of the season. Tonight. Lost.
Yes. All right. Then they are home for the Jets.
They win.
At Detroit.
Loss.
At Chicago.
I have that as a win.
Home for Minnesota.
Win.
At Miami.
Win.
Carolina.
A win.
At New Orleans.
Loss.
Bye week, Chicago.
You know what? I'm going to change that. And I had it written here. I couldn't understand what I wrote. At Chicago within week four, I'm going to change that to a loss because they're going to win home against Chicago in week 10.
Okay, coming off the bye week, right?
Yes.
Okay. Home for Philly.
Tough game, but I think they win this.
At Minnesota.
Loss.
New England.
Another tough game, but I think New England's going to win that.
Atlanta.
Win. Monday night.
At Buffalo.
Win.
At Tampa.
Win.
Finish out home with Detroit.
Win.
Okay. You put them at, what, 8-8?
No, I got them at 10-6.
I don't have them at 10-6. They're going to lose you're going to sound crazy, but I think they're going to lose to Seattle, to the Jets, and to Detroit.
Their first three games, you're going to wind up losing. Instead of losing just one of those first three games, they're going to lose the first three games. First four games, I should say.
Yeah, well, I don't have them losing to Chicago first. I think they'll beat Chicago first.
Okay.
They're going to start off 0-3, beat Chicago, beat Minnesota, lose to Miami because it's in Miami. They'll beat Carolina, lose to New Orleans, then they'll, I think they'll lose to Chicago. After the bye week, they'll lose to Philly. They'll, did I say Minnesota's going to beat them last time? I think they'll split with Minnesota. They'll lose to New Orleans, lose to Atlanta, beat Buffalo, lose to Tampa, and finish out with a loss to Detroit. I got them. I believe that makes it 6-10.
Oh, my God.
This is 7-9.
Wow.
I really do. And it's predicated on their defense. Their defense cannot stop the offenses that they're going to play. I really think so.
Wow. I'm surprised
really
about that one.
Well, I said I got a couple surprises today. And I really think they're going to be fighting for the number three spot in the NFC North.
Wow.
I really think so. Well, let's move on to the final team in the NFC North, the team that I think is going to win or come in second in the NFC North, and that's the Chicago Bears. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Alshon Jeffries joined teammate Brandon Marshall as a top 10 fantasy receiver last season, finishing the campaign 6th in yards and 10th in reception. His performance was magnificent by the fact that Marshall, on the other side, had 100 catches himself. Jeffries is easily the most dynamic number 2 receiver in the game. Here's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. Jay Cutler likes to throw to Brandon Marshall a lot more than he does Alshon Jeffries. Alshon Jeffries did all those spectacular things when McCown was the quarterback. You're going to get a big letdown this year as long as Jay Cutler is throwing the ball to his baby, Brandon Marshall. We'll put that out there. Who's not hot? There was a day when the Bears' defense struck fear in the hearts of opponents. Well, it's a new day, and no one is afraid of the team whose marquee free agent acquisition, Jared Allen, contemplated retirement in the offseason. Here he is, perennial double-digit sack man. Chicago offense was one of the most high-powered in the league at 392.4 yards per game, but the defense allowed 406.3 yards each time out. That's factor. Josh McCown is gone, except a way to be the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Jay Cutler has to be consistent and healthy. Cutler may be up and down a year and leave the Bears in playoff limbo. Last year, they were 59% pass, 41%, and Matt Forte still had an awesome year last year because he was catching a lot of those passes out the backfield for the screen, taking them on long runs for a touchdown. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying that Julius Peppers is a downgrade from Jared Allen, but I'm going to say that Jared Allen has a motor and he can play the run better than Julius Peppers. Now, here's the problem. They're safeties. I know they drafted a few guys this year. They did a lot of defensive drafting, and they're trying to fix that once vaunted defense. And I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt on that because I like their schedule a little bit, but I think that they're too much for some teams in the NFL. I think Trestman is going to get them to 10 wins this year or better, and they'll either win the division or they'll come in second. That's what I got. So, on the offensive side of the ball, Alshon Jeffries is going to disappoint you, so don't get him. I mean, I'm not saying don't get him. Let me rephrase that. Don't make him your number one target. Don't make him that receiver that you say, well, he's my number one receiver, and I can find somebody else to be number two. Not a good idea. Not a good idea. Okay? Martellus Bennett will benefit from this. But, this is going to surprise a lot of people. Jay Cutler is my offensive player that I think folks should focus in on. Defensive side, Jared Allen, only because he's going to make the backside of the Chicago Bears defense better. They had some issues last year. There was lack of pressure and stuff like that. But I think it's going to be a good move to bring in Jared Allen. He's going to pay dividends for the back end. What do you got, JT?
All right, on the offensive side of the ball, I'm going to go to, and I think he's going to get his due this year, really. Maybe he got it last year, but I think he's really going to come to the forefront in the second year of this offense. Going to my mainstay and position, which is a running back, Matt Forte. I think he's going to be featured more in space, getting the ball to him in space with short passes, besides him running the football like he does effectively. On the other side of the ball, wow. Who do I want on the other side of this ball? You know, I'm going to go this.
Too.
Excuse me?
That was my struggle as well.
You know what? I'm going to go with this guy. And just because. Lamar Houston. I'm going with him. How's that?
That's a good selection. But never mind. I'll let it prove itself out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got about 15 minutes left alive. What I'm gonna do right now is I'm gonna take a break. I'm gonna play a couple commercials, just a couple. And when I come back, we're gonna tackle the NFC West, the Wild Wild West.
You didn't try any records on this, but that's okay.
Oh, my bad. Thanks for keeping me straight, guy. Thanks for keeping me straight. I apologize. Let's do this before we go to that break, all right? The record, Chicago Bears. Here we go. Week one, home for Buffalo.
Win.
At San Fran.
Loss.
At the Jets.
Win.
Home for Green Bay.
Win.
At Carolina.
Win.
At Atlanta.
Loss.
Home from Miami.
Win.
At New England.
Loss.
Bye week. At Green Bay.
I have them win.
Minnesota.
Win.
Tampa Bay.
Win.
At Detroit.
Loss.
Home for Dallas.
Another Thursday night game, and this is going to be a tough one, and I'm leaning toward the win.
Home for New Orleans.
New Orleans doesn't play well on the road, and it's late in the season. I'm thinking they'll win that. Chicago win that.
Home for Detroit.
Win that.
And finishing up at Minnesota.
Loss.
That puts them at 11-5.
That's winning.
I thought I said something like that. We differ on some of the games, but the record's about the same. So that's good enough for me. 11-5, and you have them beating Green Bay for the division title.
Yes. So, yes, I do.
Just like I do. All right. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Chicago, the schedule is the only reason why I believe Chicago has a better chance of winning this division this year. Because they play the same people, it's just when they play them.
I've always said that. It's not who you play, it's when you play them.
Yeah. Exactamundo, mon frere. All right. Now we're going to take a break. And when we return, we're going to discuss NFC West. Stick and stay with me, it's your boy FSP, along with JT18. And we'll be back in a momento.
If you love sports, you're in store for a treat. Every Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern, you can tune into The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. The Master Plan features
a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of NBA, a little bit of baseball, a little bit of basketball, a little bit of football, a little bit of everything. And this is The Master Plan.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The Master Plan. Information, motivation, variety. If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. Information, motivation, variety.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, we are back, we are back. I kind of got that from Welcome Back, Carter. I'm dating myself, but whatever. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're doing a double dip, and we're going to go into overtime with this, but we're going to get it done. We are going to get it done. Is that okay with you, JTAT and Money?
Not a problem.
All right, we're going to start off like this. This team right here, they got some problems. And it's going to be a big problem. But Jerry Taylor says there's somebody out there that you can get to fix this problem. Let's hear what's going on.
We've had a substantial plan in working for us for years now. And Marshawn was a big part of this plan. And just a couple years back, you know, we made a big statement by making a big effort for him. We wish he was with us now.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Pete Carroll, coach of the Seattle Seahawks, and he was making reference to, a couple years ago, they paid Marshawn Lynch quite a bit of money. You know, they redid his contract, and quite naturally, I'm going to use a Jerry phrase, quite naturally, Marshawn outperformed that contract. At least, I think he did. So now Marshawn wants to renegotiate his contract. So Marshawn Lynch has reportedly told Michael Robinson while he was on the set of NFL Live or NFL
Total Access. AM,
oh, Total Access, that he's not going to report to camp. And he is, true to his word, has not reported. Now, Marshawn's getting up there in age, but he's still a maniac. He, along with the defense, are the reason why the Seahawks went to the Super Bowl. The defense and Russell Wilson was the reason why they won the Super Bowl. I'm going to do this a little reverse here, only because I think that this bears mention for those that have already drafted, such as myself. I didn't get Marshawn Lynch, but I know his backup is on the waiver wire in certain leagues. So, Jerry, give the folks that waiver wire ticket of gold's name.
Well, I know this guy's chomping at the bit. He was a rookie and got spot duty, and I'm talking about real spot duty, last year. But he's been playing well through minicamp and OTAs. And Marshawn, I'm telling you, you got 28. You had over 400 touches last year. You could be another Clinton Portis, meaning at 28, because of all the work you've put in up until this point, you could be, and I do believe you are going to be, on a decline. And I know you want to get paid because you feel this is your last contract. And Christian Michael is going to be getting more touches. Marshawn Lynch's time of getting consistently 20-plus touches is going to be a thing of the past. It would behoove anyone that happened to have drafted Marshawn Lynch is to pick up Christian Michael. If he's sitting on a waiver wire, then the people that you're playing fantasy football in that league have no idea. Let me put it that way. And if he's still sitting on there, you grab him up as quick as you possibly can, because statistically, Darrell Revis, I'm trying to think of all the other holdouts, that Larry Johnson, players that held out, the majority of the players that have held out, especially running backs that have held out in training camp and going into a regular season, bad things happen. I mean, the injuries happen, and then they're sitting for expanded point of time. Grab Christian Michael. That's what I can say.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard from the master right there. Right now, let's get into the synopsis of the Seattle Seahawks. And for the NFC West, I think I'm going to drink a little lemonade. I need a little lemonade on this. Here we go. Who's hot? Richard Sherman led the league in interceptions last season. He also earned himself a big payday in the offseason and was joined in that regard by free safety Earl Thomas, who was second on the team in interceptions and tackles. With Thomas as insurance over the top, Sherman will continue to make big plays. Who's not hot? On the road to the Super Bowl last year, there were questions about whether quarterback Russell Wilson was dynamic and consistent enough as a passer to keep the Seahawks afloat. He proved he was. Even with just 3,357 yards passing, 26 passing touchdowns. But leading receiver Golden Tate is now in Detroit, and receivers Sidney Rice, who just retired at the age of 27, and Percy Harvin seemingly can't be trusted to stay healthy. The passing game could become Seattle's weak link. While his health isn't a definite question, Mark, Percy Harvin showed how electric he can be in the last year's Super Bowl, with an 87-yard kickoff return for a touchdown and 45 yards rushing on two carries. He had just one reception in his lone regular season game. Ladies and gentlemen, they were 45% pass, 55% run. Your Seattle Seahawks. Percy Harvin is going to be the comeback player of the year. He will be. He's got to stay healthy. The problem is he's going to be on a team if Marshawn Lynch does not come back and play. He's going to be on a losing team, in my opinion. Seattle's going to finish third. That's right, third in the NFC West, according to Mr. FSP. Now, Earl Thomas did that dog on the defensive side of the ball. A free safety leading a team or second on the team in tackles says that teams are throwing on them. He comes down in the box sometimes, but that's Cam Chancellor's job, to hit him where it hurts. Next year, if they pay Marshawn Lynch, and this is the problem I see, ladies and gentlemen, if they pay Marshawn Lynch, next year they can't pay Russell Wilson. They can't pay Russell Okung. Their structure is pretty good as far as paying the people and how they have contracts designed, but it's either Russell or it's Marshawn. And as Jerry said, Marshawn is looking to be on decline this year. He won't be getting 24 rushes this year per game. Not going to happen. Offensive side of the ball, are you giving Percy? Defensive side, I'm giving Earl. Take it away, JT.
Well, believe it or not, I don't think Percy Harvin is going to be all that. For the simple reason, he can't stay healthy. And any player that consistently, year after year, has health issues year after year, I can't trust. And I know a few people are going to be jumping on him for the simple fact of the wow factor. But consistently, the wow factor and Percy Harvin and health are not a good mix. So Percy Harvin is not somebody I would jump at or even draft. I don't like this passing game in Seattle, even though they may, and I kind of doubt it, but even if they may pass a little bit more, I don't like the passing game in Seattle. Not enough consistency for me. The only guy I would absolutely go for would be the running back, and he would just be sitting on my bench. Tell you the truth, I like Christian Michael. I really like Christian Michael. I think he's going to get more touches because they realize what's going on with Marshawn Lynch, and they're going to incorporate this guy who's very explosive, and he's a young guy, and he's a cheaper guy. And regardless of what people may think, Seattle is a relatively cheap organization. They make calculated payments to whoever they want to. And when you have and you have a growing descent on this team, Pete Carroll, and this is hypocritical of him, and made a statement that he's disappointed that Marshawn Lynch is not there. He signed a contract. He wants him to live up to the contract. Well, Pete Carroll left USC, and he was still on the contract. The team, all NFL teams, including Seattle, have players that have signed the contracts and release them from that contract because of they can't use them anymore for one reason or another. So in order for Pete Carroll to say that, that's a little bit hypocritical. And the fact is, that Doug Baldwin pointed that out, that the team doesn't show any loyalty to its players when they release them, so why should the player do the same thing? So there's a little bit of friction going on there. I don't know how much, but these are the Super Bowl champions. They got high expectations. Good luck with Marshawn Lynch getting back there anytime soon. And he seems to be a pretty hard-headed guy. On the other side of the ball, I like Michael Bennett as a defensive end. He showed out last year with 8.5 sacks. I think he could do better than that this year. I like Michael Bennett.
Okay. And I can agree with you. There's a little dissension in the fact that team loyalties and stuff like that. The average fan has to realize it's a business. And, yes, I get mad when people leave my Redskins, but I also understand that they're a living, breathing organization that ever changes. They change very often, unfortunately, but teams change and shed skin like a snake every year. You never have the exact same roster and coaches. There's always some sort of change. So you have to get in where you can, make what you can, and enjoy it while you can. And Seattle is very notorious for being penny punchers. So they paid all these people already. The next person they're going to pay is going to be Russell Wilson. As you said, Clinton Michael is cheap. He's a cheaper, younger version and faster version of Marshawn Lynch. But we'll see. We'll see. Kendall Hunter tore his ACL in practice. So once we get to San Fran, Carlos Hyde, people better be licking their chops. Either him or Lattimore are going to get a lot of carries next year.
Wait a minute. Did that just happen?
It happened the other day, but they just diagnosed it as a torn ACL.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
So that means Carlos Hyde and Lattimore hasn't even taken part in football stuff yet, but that tells me that those guys are going to be busy next year. Anyway, with that being said, let's go to the schedule. Open up with Green Bay.
Oh, I'm sorry. When?
Yeah. All right. At San Diego.
When?
Home for Denver.
Loss?
This is going to hurt them. They got a bye week.
Then they come to D.C.
When?
Home for Dallas.
When?
At St. Louis.
They lose that. They always have problems with St. Louis.
At Carolina.
When?
Oakland.
When?
Giants.
When?
At KC.
When?
Arizona.
They have problems with Arizona, but they went home.
At San Francisco.
Loss.
At Philly.
Loss.
Home for San Francisco.
Win.
At Arizona.
Win. I mean loss. I'm sorry. Loss.
So you got Arizona sweeping them?
No. I got Arizona, them beating Arizona home, and at Arizona they lose.
Okay. Then they finish up home with the Rams.
Win.
And that makes them?
And this is because of the defense, not mainly on the offense. I have them 11-5.
No, buddy. No. All right. I agree with you. They're going to win home with Green Bay. I think they're going to, beat San Diego, lose to Denver, lose to Washington. They'll beat. Well, you know what?
Well, answer me something. How do you think they're going to lose to Washington? Those DBs are going to shut your receivers down.
They can shut the receivers down. If they're not going to be able to shut down Deshaun, Pierre, Roberts, Reed.
You really don't think so, huh?
No. Here's what I'm getting to. I know it's not the exact same defense. I know it's not the exact same offense. When they played in FedEx and Rob was hurt, for three quarters, the Redskins dominated that game. And they didn't have the quality of players on offense that they do now. I really believe that they're going to spread them so wide that Bobby Wagner and whoever else plays linebacker is going to have a long day tackling Alfred Morris. I really think so. And once they start keying on Alfred Morris, one-on-one, okay, Sherman might be able to get his hands on him and knock Deshaun off his route once or twice, but he can't hold him but for so long, and Deshaun can go down the field. Pierre is a medium threat. Roberts is a short and medium threat as well. And Jordan Reed, somebody got to cover him too. I just believe that the offense of the Redskins at home will be a lot better than the defense of Seattle and better than their offense. But anyway, I believe Dallas may or may not beat them, so I'm going to go ahead and give it to Dallas. They'll beat St. Louis, they'll beat Carolina, they'll beat Oakland, they'll beat the Giants, they'll lose to KC, they'll lose to Arizona, they'll lose to San Fran, they'll lose to Philly, at Philly. If Philly was going to Seattle, I would say Seattle, but they're going to lose to Philly. They'll beat San Fran, they'll lose to Arizona, and then they'll beat St. Louis, 9-7.
Wow. Okay.
9-7.
Okay.
All right. Let's move on. Speaking of which, let's go to San Francisco. Let's just go to San Francisco. How about that?
Sounds good to me.
Here we go. Gotta take my lemonade just a bit. And let's go. San Francisco is one of the two NFC teams to run more than it passed last season. The great running game featured 1,000-yard rusher Frank Gore, who continues to push the limits of age, but it hinges on the play of quarterback Colin Kaepernick, who's not hot, and this is somewhat true. 49ers defense and special teams had virtually no weaknesses last year, even amidst a litany of injuries to key players. Patrick Willis is healthy, but Navarro Bowman, who stepped up in his stead, will miss half. I think he's going to miss the entire season. think Navarro Bowman's going to miss the entire season, but they say half the season, after tearing up his knee in the NFC Championship game. What's more, Alden Smith's legal problems have compounded his future as uncertain, even though he's already been tried, convicted, and all that other good stuff. This is still a top-tier defense with possibly weaker units that struggle to hold on to its standing. I do not like their cornerbacks. I do not. I think people can pass heavily on San Francisco. I really do. At any rate, the X Factor, wide receiver Michael Crabtree was sorely missed when the Niners started 1-2, and again when they went 6-3 after having a loss to Carolina at home in a 91-yard passing performance by Kaepernick. With Crabtree back in the lineup in Week 13, the 49ers won 7 straight games, including 2 playoff contests. 45% pass, 55% run. Here's the screen, ladies and gentlemen. Kaepernick has been working a little bit with Brandon Lloyd to work on their routes and timing and stuff. I think because of Frank Gore's age and the fact you have Carlos Hyde, a rookie, now the backup to Frank Gore, and you got Lattimore, who could be great if he can come back healthy. There's instability in the run game. Honestly, since they loaded up with Stevie Johnson, Anquan Boldin, Crabtree, and old boy that I just mentioned, can't remember his name, I just said Brandon Lloyd, they're going to go to a passing attack. And this is going to expose Colin Kaepernick. Now remember, Kaepernick just got paid a lot of money. But he's about to get exposed this year. If they go to a passing attack, they will be exposed. So, with Navarro Bowman out, that old good and steady Patrick Willis steps up and helps that defense yet again. I forget who they got in safety. I don't remember who they got, because Whitner left.
Antoine Bethea.
Oh, Antoine Bethea, former Colt, a little aged and often injured nowadays, but he's effective. But I don't think he's going to be good enough. San Francisco's still going to be good. They're still going to be good this year, but they're going to rely on Colin Kaepernick. And I told you, he had how many yards passing in that one game? 91 yards. Carolina's no slouch. Don't get it twisted. Carolina's no slouch. But 91 yards total passing from your quarterback? That's not good, guys. That is not good. So, as I said, Patrick Willis on the offensive side, Crabtree or that big boy from Ohio State, Carlos Hyde, doing the daggone thing for the 49ers. Go ahead, JT.
Well, I hope the Niners don't do what the Jets did with Mark Sanchez. And this, let me explain what I'm saying here. The first 2 years that Mark Sanchez was with the Jets were very successful and went to the AFC Championship 2 years, 2 seasons in a row. They come back the third season and figure Sanchez is ready to take a big leap and decide to throw the ball more versus what they've been doing in the first 2 seasons of when Rex got there, is key their offense on running the football. And you can see the results of how bad Mark Sanchez was when they tried to pass more than they did well in running the football. I hope the San Francisco 49ers don't take that same trip and keep what they're doing in running the football and taking their shots down the field with better weapons and better options when they do throw the football. I think they're going to do that. I think Jim Harbaugh is not going to open up the offense and have Kaepernick throw the ball. I think they're going to do the same thing. I think just Kaepernick's going to be more efficient with better weapons all across the field. I'm looking for big things, and I'm going with Kaepernick as my offensive guy. I'm looking for big things for Kaepernick this year, being a big year for Kaepernick, and I'm close to breaking out, let me put it that way. So I like Colin Kaepernick to have a better year than he had last year and be within that top 10 in quarterbacks in fantasy. And I'm going with the new guy on the block, a consistent guy in the safety position. I like Antoine Bethea on that on that side of the ball.
All right, let's go with this record. Open up at Dallas.
That's a win.
Chicago.
Win.
At Arizona.
Loss.
Philly.
Win.
KC.
Win.
At St. Louis.
They have fits with St. Louis. Colin Kaepernick doesn't play well against St. Louis on a Monday night. Loss.
At Denver.
Too much offense for Denver. Loss.
Bye week. St. Louis again.
They return the favor at home. Win.
At New Orleans.
Very tough to win in New Orleans. That's the loss.
Giants.
They win at the Giants.
Washington.
They win.
Seattle.
They always play with Seattle home, always a tight game, but they a lot of times they win at home against Seattle, so I give them a win.
Okay. At Oakland.
Too many issues, win.
At Seattle.
They lose.
San Diego.
Win.
Arizona.
Win.
And
11-5.
11-5. Man. Okay. I give them like 10-6. I think they're gonna have a problem against some of these teams that like to throw the ball in fast pace. I think they're gonna open up with a loss to Dallas, honestly. Chicago is iffy. I'm not sure if I gave Chicago the win or the loss. But as you said, they struggle with St. Louis. And by this time, we will know if Frank Gore or Carlos Hyde is going to get the bulk of the carries, because we're talking about almost a quarter of the way through the season. Man, it's going to be rough. 10-6, 9-7 is what I'm going to give them, honestly. I think they're going to rely too much on Colin Kaepernick, and he is going to, he's not going to deliver. I really think that's going to be the case. You ready, JT?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to St. Louis. If I had St. Louis picks, I'd trade him. But Robert Quinn, Chris Long, and Denoris Jenkins lead a defense that is emerging, or perhaps has emerged, one of the best in the league. The impact of the Rams defense is still in question, considering it wasn't good enough to overcome all the offensive weaknesses last year. But 2014 could produce results similar to that of the Panthers and Chiefs of last season. I doubt it highly. Who's not? Quarterback Sam Bradford has already been considered a bust in some circles, but the same was said about Alex Smith until Coach Jim Harbaugh got to San Francisco. This likely won't be the year Bradford fulfilled expectations, though, as he is coming off of ACL tear that ended what was becoming his most productive season. Here's the X Factor, and I think everybody should take note, because he's going to be the bomb.com, and that's wideout Tavon Austin is a threat to score whenever, wherever, and however he gets the ball. His receiving touchdowns will depend on Bradford's health and consistency, but it's not happening for him on offense. Expect to see some big special teams plays from the former West Virginia star. The Rams were 54% pass, 46% run. And, I mean, I couldn't say it any better. I think Kayvon Austin is going to be the X-factor or the go-to guy on offense. I don't like the fact that I don't like their running game situation. I don't like Sam Bradford. I just think their offense is the complete opposite of their defense. Their defense is stacked. They are stacked. I just believe their offense is not going to be able to score enough points to keep up with some of these teams they got to play this year. So, defensive side, of course, James Laurinaitis. Love him all day, every day. Kid's an animal. He's around the ball all the time. And I called him the animal. His dad was animal from the Road Warriors, so that was kind of funny, too. But Jerry didn't laugh, so whatever. Anyway, JTATM Money, what you got?
Well, on this side, I agree with the assessment of Sam Bradford. I'm not a Sam Bradford fan. Highly touted. I thought he was going to be more than he was. He's never panned out exactly as advertised. But what I do like, and I'm going between two positions, whether it's in the tight end or the wide receiver, but I'm going to go to the wide receiver. And from a guy who's been much troubled, and the reason why he's not in Tennessee anymore because he's now because he's all the problems he's had. I think one of the surprise guys of this year is going to be a very experienced wide receiver that may have had some maturity issues that I think he's grown up a little bit. Plus, he's got his old coach back, which is probably a very good comforting factor for him and a very good move for him. I like Kenny Britt on the offensive side of the ball. That's a little off the grid. A lot of people have forgotten about him. He's got a ton of ability. But a lot of immaturity. So I'm going on that side of the ball. On the defensive side of the ball, where do I go? I mean, there's a lot of places
there's
I can
so
go
much.
With here. Yeah, there's a lot of places I can go here. And I think I'm going to go with this guy. He's an outside linebacker, number 52 in your program. I'm going with Alec Ogletree.
Okay. You can't go wrong on the defense side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here we go. And I did forget about Kenny Britt. Unfortunately, I don't know who's going to be his quarterback if Bradford gets hurt or Bradford can get him the ball. So I tend to stay away from him. Let's start off with this the schedule. Open up with Minnesota.
And when is that?
At Tampa Bay.
And lose.
Home for Dallas.
Oh, they win. Pass rush too crazy.
Yeah, possibly. Open date. Then they go to Philly.
Lose that. Not enough offense.
San Fran.
They win that.
Seattle.
They win that.
At Kansas City.
Did the two division wins give the fans false hope? They lose this.
At San Fran.
They lose that.
At Arizona.
They lose that.
Denver.
They lose.
At San Diego.
They lose.
Oakland.
Another team with issues. They win that.
At Washington.
They lose that.
Arizona.
They win at home Thursday night.
New York Giants.
Giants at home, too much pass rush for the Giants. They win that.
At Seattle to finish the season.
They lose that.
And you have the Rams
six
at?
And, 6-10.
Let me go over mine.
Where do you have them?
I'm about to go over right now. Wow. 3-13.
Okay. You had them on the negative side of a winning record, so that's I can understand that. Some of these games can go either way. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt because of their defense. So.
Well, their defense, unless their defense is stalling, I don't see. God bless you. Because their defense ain't scoring, homie.
Well, defense can score or put them in a position to make it score easier. So I'm putting that. If you look at some of these wins I'm giving them, most of their wins are home against Dallas. Dallas has got a questionable offensive line, and the defense stinks. They always play San Francisco well, the division rival.
And
it's early in the season. They play Seattle well. That's two home games. So the first three wins that they have are home. Minnesota is home. Minnesota doesn't have a prolific offense. Oakland, that's home. So most of their wins, in fact, all of their wins, are home. Minnesota, Dallas, San Francisco, Seattle, Oakland, Arizona, and New York Giants are all home games. And some of these teams don't have a prolific offense. So the Lions are suspect. So that's my thinking.
I got you. I just don't like their offense, period, man. I really don't. It might surprise me, but I don't think so. But anyway, we got one more team left, and this is the team that I believe will be number two in the AFC West. Number two. So, and I think AFC West, you're not going to have like the 11 and 5 teams or 12 and 4 teams this year because their schedule isn't that easy anymore. But this team, I think, is going to shock everybody and possibly make a strong run at the Super Bowl. Oh, I love the coach. Bruce Arians is a genius. I love him, and he's doing it with Carson Palmer. That makes it even better. So here we go. Larry Fitzgerald and those Arizona Cardinals. All right. Michael Floyd joins teammate Larry Fitzgerald as a top 30 fantasy receiver. Finally, Fitz has help on the other side. Defense special teams repeated as a top 12 unit in 2013 and enters 2014 ranked fifth, with cornerback Patrick Peterson as the top playmaker on defense. Well, Patrick Peterson will not be returning punts this year. He revealed that at the ESPYs. So I don't know who the kick return is going to be, but it will not be him. But the unit is a lock for good plays. Carson Palmer is not back as he enters the season as the 23rd ranked quarterback, actually three spots higher than last year when he was coming off of semi-retirement and a two-year stint in Oakland. He threw for a career-high 4,274 yards in 2013, but he matched it with a career-high 22 interceptions. He's getting long in the tooth at 34, and the Cardinals increased their rushing plays by 7% last season, a trend that should continue. Now, here's a guy that me and Jerry went back and forth on during the first live draft of the season for your boy FSP. The X-Factor, Andre Ellington, averaged 5.5 rushing yards per attempt last year, but netted just 650 yards as part of the Cardinals running back by committee. With the retirement of Rashad Mendenhall, Ellington will get more carries and more targets, taking pressure off the passing game. Last year, 58% pass, 42% run. It's what it is. Talk to me, JT.
I'm going to go with my man here, Andre Ellington. Arians talking about him being a bell cow, even though he's on not a real big back, but I like him a lot. He can catch the ball. He can run the ball effectively. In this Bruce Arians offense, I'm going with Andre Ellington, and there's some other guys I definitely can go with, but I'm going with Ellington on the offensive side of the ball. On the defensive side of the ball, I'm going with another kid on the block. On the opposite side of number 21, who he wears because of Deion Sanders. I'm going with number 31, Antonio Cromartie. You're going to stay away from Patrick Peterson, throwing Cromartie. He's going to have a nice season as the Robin to Patrick Peterson being the Batman in the defensive backfield of the Arizona Cardinals.
That's pretty good. I actually like the Honey Badger to have a more active role this year. He's still going to play the slot, which is good for him because he's a good slot guy. I like Cromartie as well on the opposite side of Patrick Peterson. That's a pretty good threesome at cornerback. I think the Honey Badger might get a few return opportunities now that Patrick Peterson isn't going to do it. But my guy is Calais Campbell. Now that Carlos Dansby's not there, I think Calais Campbell has an opportunity to step in and be that beast that he can be. He's a good player, very, very good player. But I think he has an opportunity to step up and do his thing. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, I thought this guy was going to break out last year. I really, really did. I don't know what happened, why he regressed, why he didn't get the ball as much. But Hosmer, the tight end for Arizona. Hosmer is a Gronkowski-type player. Big, strong, can block, catch. He punishes you as he's running with the ball. I remember seeing the safety or whoever come up and launch himself at Howler, and the safety or DB got spun sideways. I think he's going to be a gem in the rough because, okay, yes, Andre Ellington is going to get more targets in the passing game. He's going to rush the ball more. Michael Floyd is good. Fitz is always outstanding. But who's their number three receiver? Who is that third option? I'm not sure. To be quite honest, I'm really not sure. And that's sad for me to say, being in the field that we're in, but I don't know. And since I don't know, I'm going to have to give it to Hosmer as that next target in line. I don't see how it couldn't be Hosmer. The kid is a big-bodied guy that can catch the ball and punish you while he works. With that being said, JTATM Money. Oh, Tegan Jr. That's what they got. They got Tegan Jr. Tegan Jr. is going to be their special teams guy. Forget what I said about the Honey Badger. It's going to be Tegan Jr. And that's pretty good. But he's not going to be their third target. It's still going to be Halfa. I'm sorry. All right, JT. Time for me to go down this roster and, of course, in this show. Let's do it. Open up. Home for San Diego.
Win.
At the Giants.
Win.
Home for San Fran.
Loss.
Bye week. At Denver.
Loss.
Home for Washington.
Win.
At Oakland.
Win.
Home for Philly.
Win.
Ooh. At Dallas.
Loss.
Home for St. Louis.
Win.
Detroit.
Win.
At Seattle.
Loss.
At Atlanta.
Loss.
Kansas City.
Win.
At St. Louis.
Loss.
Seattle.
Loss.
Finishing up at home with San Francisco.
No, at San Francisco.
Yeah, sorry, at San Francisco.
That's a loss. I have him at 8-8.
I got him at 10-6. 10-6. I agree with you on a few, but I disagree on several. But I got him at 10-6. I think they'll sweep the Rams. I think they'll split with San Fran. They're going to beat the Giants. I don't think they're going to beat Philly. I think they're going to only win one game out of the East, and that's against the Giants. They have a chance against Dallas, but it's at Dallas. And that's the one thing I was saying I'm not sure about. But
no,
we're
going to beat Washington home.
No, they're
going to beat Washington. I'm sorry, but they're going to beat Washington at home.
No, they're not.
Okay.
No. Do you want to put something on that?
When time comes, we can do that.
No. The time is right now. Do you think you're saying that they're going to beat them? I'm saying they're not. And I'm saying I'm willing to bet that they're going to beat Arizona in Arizona.
Okay. I got it circled. $100.
How much?
$100. They're going to beat Washington. No points. Straight up.
Straight up. Washington's going to kick that ass.
I got to circle down.
Thank you for my $100 there, buddy. I appreciate that.
26-14. I got it circled. Money.
Okay.
Straight up. I'm putting it all that down here right now.
All right. I'm glad you're going to remind yourself how much you're going to pay me. And that was going to be easy payment. I ain't got to wait till the end of the season to get that. I'm going to get my other payment on that Houston thing, too. I appreciate that. So, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the show. We covered two divisions, NFC North, NFC West. JT might be riding solo on Saturday. I don't know. He might have somebody call in and rock the mic with him. But when I return, I hope that we will cover the NFC East. I'm not going to, I don't want you to do the NFC East till I get back, okay, JT?
No problem. I'm just kidding. No problem.
Whatever.
That's the last division, right? Am I right about that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right, so I guess what I will start doing once we finish that division is I'll start doing individual defensive players. I have a whole list of players by position from DB, linebacker, defensive line, stuff like that that we can go through and talk about. JT is probably going to start doing his offensive players and stuff like that, so we can get into that as well. But ladies and gentlemen, and next Saturday, it's the Hall of Fame game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's big. That is big time. We'll talk about it. It's going to be great. All right, Liz, you got anything you want to put out before we go? Like tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow. Tune in, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. NFL Exporter, Mr. Lance Goodman, will be on tap along with me and the Master Plan at 10 a.m. We're going to be talking NFL next Saturday. Unfortunately, Mr. FSP won't be on hand, but I'm going to start talking about fantasy positions, and I'm going to start it off with tight ends. Tight ends on Saturday. And on Sunday, I'm going to go with wide receivers. So it's going to be a passing weekend next weekend in fantasy. Tight ends on Saturday, wide receivers on Sunday.
Sounds like a winner to me. Big time winner to me. All right, ladies and gentlemen. You got anything else you want to put out there before we get out?
I did it what I need to do.
Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com, you can catch myself, Mr. FSP, along with my co-host, JT, ATM Money, doing Fantasy Sports and Politics, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then on Sundays, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, JT with the Master Plan. That guy's a beast, trust me. He knows what he's talking about most of the time. Not when he's going against me, though. Then, on Thursday, JT's back at it again. Yeah, I know. JT's back at it again with Black and Jeff at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio with the FSP Crew Show. They get in it. It's getting live and living color. I want to give a big shout-out. I'd be remiss to say my boy or our guy, Mike, yes indeed, Reed, who's come on the show several times, he just got signed by Top Rank Boxing. But now he has a real major promotion pushing this guy. So I want to say congratulations to him. And boxing is one of the things that the FSP Crew Show focuses in on Thursday nights. But with football season right here, we'll see what happens, along with a few other things. And you're right back here on Saturdays. Once the summer's over, we might have no chaser. I don't know. I haven't talked to the host, but we shall see. If not, we're going to bring you a new political program on Fridays. Just in case. I got something in my back pocket. I'm going political Friday if no chaser doesn't return, but we'll see. We'll see. Before my guy, JTATM Mike, and for all the people in the world, I'm going to do this one little commercial, and then I'm going to get out of here.
Hi, I'm Russell Gilchrist. When I need fantasy sports advice, I listen to Fantasy Sports and Politics on Blog Talk Radio.
Fantasy Sports and Politics!
You want to talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to